Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text we're going to consider is the gospel lesson, John chapter 9. Now as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth, and his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. This is our text. So, who caused the virus? It was the Chinese. It was Donald Trump. It was the American CIA. It feels so good to place blame, doesn't it? Someone to denounce, someone to punish, to ostracize in a variety of ways. That is the way we must, that is what we must do to solve all of our problems, right? To assign blame. And things like this give birth to innumerable other things that we can use to place blame about masks, medication, ventilators, the press, ad infinitum, ad nauseum. We will have enough blaming to do, enough investigating, enough denouncing and condemning that days and months and years will be consumed. We will have an answer to problems like coronavirus, or perhaps, as we find in our text, maybe how someone became blind. And yet, we're walking with Jesus on his way to the cross. And you would think that of all people, he would know who is to blame for this sad affliction that this man had to bear. And if we find out what it is, we'll be satisfied, right? If we find out, Lord, who sinned? We think that if we have figured out who is to blame for something, we have solved the problem. The mystery is solved. Why do terrible things happen in this world? After all, they don't need to. After all, this world would be perfect if we all just cleaned up our own little messes and acted appropriately. Isn't that right? Isn't that what the scripture teaches? It all depends on us. Did the man's parents sin? Jesus is close, but no cigar, for they said that with an implied comparison. Surely the man's parents did sin. There is no one who is without sin except for Jesus. But the comparison is with those who were not born blind. Somehow they were better than this poor beggar. And that's the way we like to think of ourselves. We like to create these little hierarchies. We're the better people because we have all of this good stuff. And if people would just act like us, we could continue and say, well, what about those who got the virus and those who did not get the virus? Perhaps they just didn't do the right things. Implied is that the troubles we face in life must be due to some sin that we have committed over and above what others have done. That's why our lives become difficult and miserable and ridden with anxiety. Now, do you see the blindness of human nature in this? The blindness that seems to afflict even us today? We have a better life without the affliction if we follow the rules. Is that what the fourth petition teaches us? Is that what the first article of the creed teaches us? The fourth petition says, we pray for our daily bread so that we realize that none of it comes from us, not even if we follow the rules, not even if we're diligent, not even if we work hard, we get nothing that's not a gift. And it seems to make sense, humanly speaking, but not in God's world. Seems to make sense that if we follow the rules, everything will go well for us. But then what do you do with Psalm 72, in which the psalmist looked around and saw wicked people, evil people prospering? How do you explain that? Beyond that, there are many examples of those afflicted while being blameless. Job, afflicted from head to toe with boils, scraping the pus off his body with broken potsherds, and his friends coming to him and telling him that he must have done something in order to deserve this, which they had not received. Implied is this comparison. Confess your sin, Job. You must have done something wrong. The prophets who were stoned and killed. And then finally Jesus, the only truly sinless man. He followed the rules, didn't he? And he got what he deserved, right? That's not necessarily how this world works. There is a blindness that goes deeper and is evidenced in the rest of the story. We see it in the disciples who ask the question from ignorance, having been taught otherwise, and they are corrected. We'll see that in a minute. But we also see those who are teaching it, those who actually make this a point of their theological instruction. They are the ones who begin to harden themselves to this, enforcing that way of seeing things in the Jews, the teachers whose blindness is revealed. The blindness of man causes this to get deeper and darker. The disciples apparently were corrected immediately. Neither this man nor his parents brought this disease, this affliction upon this man. Don't compare him to other people. Don't think somehow that your situation in life is, if it's better than someone else, means that you have done something better than others. This is a result of the curse that came into the world, which afflicts every man, woman, and child, and in different ways. We all are afflicted by it. And these afflictions we cannot fix. The most obvious of them being death. We cannot and will never extend our lives a moment, for our times are in God's hands. And so therefore, as we said yesterday, the reason in the midst of a pestilence like coronavirus we gather together around God's word is to be prepared to die. Although not all of us will die, not all of us will even get sick. But to be prepared to die, to be ready to face God, to live in the mercy and forgiveness of God, so that we might love our neighbor, so that we might have courage to serve our neighbor. The Jews, especially the leaders, were confused about this, and then they were hardened especially into this error. In other words, the error was the same for the disciples and the Jews, but the leaders did not take correction. They seemed determined to find some comfort and assurance in their life compared with others. They sought to investigate the healing to attempt to determine what was going on. And they had just gotten done, at least some had just gotten done, with a very heated discussion with Jesus about whether or not he was a good man. Remember, they implied that he was not truly a Jew, a son of Abraham. He was born of a loose woman and a Samaritan, and he possessed a demon. That's how serious human beings take this notion of comparison and blame. That's how they use it against one another, how mean and evil they can be. when they look God in the face and accuse him of having a demon. The true son of Abraham, the seed of Abraham, standing before them. So they heard the story and declared that the one who healed this person was evil because he did it on the Sabbath. Now, this was a regular criticism for the Jews because they didn't understand God's grace and mercy and the means of grace. They were quite focused on their works. They came to church, therefore they should be blessed more than others. They were righteous people. They did what they were supposed to do. They followed the rules, and they missed the point that when you gather at temple, when you gather at synagogue, this is a group of sinners afflicted with all manner of sin and trouble. And there was only one who really was working, giving a gift through his word and spirit. They missed the works of God in their midst on the Sabbath more than once. They couldn't get it in their mind. On the Sabbath, God was the one who was working, even as he works today, to forgive and to heal, to renew and to restore sinners. They had declared that those who affirmed that the word and work of Jesus was a good thing, that he was the Messiah, they would be excommunicated. Here we see the demonic nature of this hardening. To cast sinners out from the means of grace. Not sinners who are impenitent, but sinners that see the Messiah for whom he truly is. Who have faith in the Messiah. So hard they had become against the gospel, the true gospel which Jesus wanted them to hear. That they couldn't and wouldn't abide with this blind man in their church. Jesus made it very clear. Only if they confessed their blindness would they be given eyes to see and ears to hear. But instead they claimed to see and were blind. A horrible word from Jesus. Only Christ can bring light to bear on this situation. God made clear in Romans 5, which we have heard the last couple of weeks, that through one man, death came into the world. Yes, through one man, Adam. And we're all sons and daughters of Adam. And there is nothing in our genealogy, that saves us. Our fathers and mothers were all damned sinners. We received this through our fathers, this inheritance. And so Paul says, death reigned in our world. And with death, all those things that God uses to bring it to pass, even blindness, for a life of begging and destitution would not be a long life, would not be a seemingly good life. Would be a difficult life, a life of affliction and trouble, which we heard last Wednesday. And so we all face the same trouble, the same end, and no work of man can fix it. And Jesus said, for judgment I've come into this world, that those who do not see may see, that those who see may be made blind. You see, he comes to us, those who see their sins. He comes to save us. To save sinners. He's the only one born of a father that is God. He has the image of God, and he does the works of God. He keeps the law perfectly. He would go and take our sins to the cross. He comes to save sinners, not the righteous, for the latter don't need a savior. He came to make us see our true need, and it will not be found as we compare ourselves to others. Sinners are just sinners in comparison with sinners, and it makes no difference. One sin will damn you. But this one, this Savior, came And he took upon himself each and every one of our sins. And he was nailed to the cross to pay our debt. And we see our need and we believe. Lord, I believe, the blind man says. He received his sight, not just the sight, to be able to look Jesus in the eyes, in the face, to see his mom and his dad again. But he believes. He has eyes, the eyes and ears of faith, to believe in the only one who could come and save us. We come to see just who this one is, and we see our need. And he comes doing the works of God, for only God can do these works to save us. Only Christ can heal and save fallen sinners from the effects and condemnation of the curse. Paul taught, through one man sin came death, sin and death, so also through one man, the Messiah, the Christ, the prophet, comes salvation. The Lutheran confessions teach us that we can't bear to see the depths of our sin, that we are daily tempted to find comfort in our circumstances, in our comparison with others, to assure ourselves that we are favored by God. But Jesus came into the world to save sinners, damned sinners. And until we see the cross, until we look and see what our works have wrought, who he is, and his great love for us, that he would come into the world to save sinners like us, that we would see him as our only savior from sin, death, and the devil, that we would give up on the rules and trust in his love, the one man, the second Adam, in whose image we would be restored. Jesus assured the blind man, cast out of the church by blind sinners, that he would not be left without God's care and love. In fact, in short order, after Jesus went to Jerusalem to the cross to pay our debt, after he rose for our justification, after he revealed himself to his disciples and his church, after he declared his victory in hell, after all those things, the disciples would gather together in Acts chapter 2 for word and sacrament and receive the gifts to heal and sustain them to everlasting life. This man, even though he was cast out of the synagogue, would be received into Christ's care, his continued care that he set up for each individual Christian in the midst of this fallen world. The great physician came to heal the cursed and fallen creatures who bear the afflictions of that curse, and he opens their eyes to the treasures, the one thing needful in the midst of our world, no matter our weaknesses, no matter our sins, no matter how we compare with others. Who caused all this to happen? We, his children, are not fixated on denouncing others and feeling good about ourselves. Rather, we look to the one who comes to save sinners, and we confess our sin. This is the one who comes to die for the sins of the world, the Lamb of God who comes to save us. For the solution we need is not found in man, in men, in the strength of man, in the weapons of man, in doctors and nurses and governments, but in the body of a Savior hanging on a tree, rising from the dead, conquering, truly conquering all that afflicts us. For he has made us more than conquerors through him who loved us. And he will lead us home. We have been given eyes to see and ears to hear so that we might follow this good shepherd home. We daily fix our eyes that can see on Jesus Christ, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, so that we might find our way home. Amen.